This is Emergency Medicine Match Advice, sponsored by Academic Life and Emergency Medicine, a podcast series designed to help medical students and residents strategically navigate the process of applying for residency in emergency medicine or to EM-sponsored fellowship programs. I'm your host, Mike Gisanti from Stanford University. Let's get started. Welcome to Emergency Medicine Match Advice, a Google Hangout web series sponsored by Academic Life and Emergency Medicine, and its editor-in-chief, my favorite medical educator, Dr. Michelle Lin from UCSF. Good afternoon, Michelle.
Hey, guys. Welcome. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, so am I. Today's topic is entitled Making the Perfect Rank Order List. And to help you make that perfect list, we have three outstanding program directors with us today. Dr. Colleen Roche from George Washington University, Dr. Jonathan Davis from Georgetown University Washington Hospital Center, and Dr. Brian Stetler from the University of Cincinnati. So thanks for being with us, you guys. Today, panel, our task is simple. We're going to provide some tips and tricks that will help the students make the perfect rank list. And students, I'm going to propose that the perfect rank list is really made through a five-step process that's already begun. It began with the selection of which programs you wanted to apply to. Your perfect rank list will inevitably reflect some degree of geographic or institutional preferences, depending where you fall in a spectrum of being entirely location-driven or entirely program-driven. I think most students fall somewhere in the middle with a mix of programs based on location, perceived fit, competitiveness, reputation, and certainly just information that you get from your advisors. Now, your second step is to pare down your list to the final number of programs that you plan to visit during interview season. If you were strategic about where you applied and had a good mix of programs that reflect variable levels of competitiveness and perhaps geography, you're likely that you're going to have the ability to decline some interview offers. And you're going to get to that magic number of 10 to 15 interviews that we recommended in several of our previous Hangouts. Now, we're taping this session in early October, so most students who view this Hangout in the next few weeks will be actively dealing with step number two. However, now that the application process is behind you and hopefully your stress level is a little bit better now that you've started receiving some interview offers, this is the ideal time to prepare for the final three steps necessary to make that perfect list. For step three, you simply need to decide what information you want to gather on the interview trail. Everyone's list is going to be a little different. Different things are important to different members of your class and certainly will be of variable importance to you. Everyone's rank list is like a fingerprint. And to figure out what's going to be important to you requires some preparation because the information gathering process necessary for this is really an active learning process. You can't expect to show up on interview day and passively absorb all the information that's necessary for you to make the best, most personally authentic rank list decisions for yourself. Now, step four is actually getting information on interview day. It requires you to process tons of data that's being thrown at you and distill it down to what really matters to you. And we're going to talk about how to do that during our Hangout today. And then step five is actually sitting down and making your list. And this is a really easy step for some students, but certainly is very challenging for other students. It's far easier for the students, I think, who go out on the trail well-prepared with questions ahead of time. They know what information that they want to get. So that means you need a game plan for how to think about your list before you even set foot out on the interview trail. So thinking about the title of this installment, Making the Perfect Rank List, you might think at first glance that this is a task that would be easily put off until the end of the interview season in February. But we're deliberately taping this Hangout before interview season starts. Because I think to make that perfect list, you need to consider steps three and four very carefully. What information do I need to gather when I visit these programs, and how do I go about getting that information? So this session is meant to help you prepare for interview season and hopefully to make this as an enjoyable, efficient, and productive process as it can be. I will mention that we do have some references associated with this Hangout on the Academic Life website. And if I simply read the titles, you're going to get a sense of the theme of these articles. They're entitled Factors That Influence Medical Student Selection of an EM Program, EM Residency Applicant Views on the Interview Day Process, Emergency Medicine Residency Selection Factors Influencing Candidate Decision, and Factors Applicants Value When Selecting an EM Residency. So clearly a theme to that set of articles, which I recommend that you all skim as you begin to think about this process. Also included online are two blog posts on the Academic Life website on the topic How to Make Your Rank List, one by Nikita Joshi in 2013 and one by Dr. Michelle Lin herself in 2010. So I recommend reading those as well. So with that introduction, let's get some tips and tricks from our guest program directors today. And we're going to start with Dr. Roche from George Washington. Just to kind of get us started, Colleen, I'd like you to talk about what information the student should expect to hear about on interview day. Just maybe make a broad strokes list of what information program directors generally provide.
Okay. So I think going into the interview process, you're going to go to all these different programs and you're going to learn a ton of different things about them. I think some of the standard things that we all talk about are the different emergency departments that we rotate through, and then a lot of about what the faculty is doing, what the residents are doing, and kind of the overall sense and mission of what our departments are. We're going to talk about a lot of sexy things. We're going to talk about ultrasound and international medicine and things that might not be really apparent from our websites, but are hot topics and people are interested in. What you will sometimes get some information about, and some information might be limited, are on some lesser or less sexy topics. So maybe your interest is healthcare disparities, or maybe you're interested in becoming a leader in administration. These things kind of sometimes have to be teased out because there's so much information to be had that you can't, it's not necessarily readily apparent.
So all the administrators out there are really sad because you think they're not sexy. So that's too bad. All the aspiring administrators. So you touched on one interesting point. You said that some information that you share won't be readily available on websites. And I think students can get information about programs in a number of different ways, but certainly websites that the program provides, information on SAM and the residency catalog, FRIDA, even going to residency fairs at ASAP and SAM, you'll be able to get a different flavor for some of the information. You'll see some life brought to the statistic. But what information is presented really only on interview day that the students have to pay attention to when they're in the room?
My experience is from the information I'm giving is, and I think that what I'm giving on interview day that's different, and Brian and John might disagree with me, but it's really the depth of what we're doing in our department, not just saying we have an international mission and a global health mission and a public health mission, trying to kind of really relay all the multiple layers of things as a program director that I'm giving each of the applicants to understand better. The other information that they can really expect to get is on the side of the residents. And the residents are going to be giving them things that are so different from what the program director is going to be giving them. But a lot of that is the number of shifts, which rotation's great, what we like to do for fun together, those sorts of things.
Well, which of those things, the factors that they're hearing about on interview day, that they're reading in websites, in the end, since we're talking about making the perfect rank list, what parts of these presentations, what factors are really going to matter most to the candidates so they can kind of pay attention when those things get talked about in the PD presentation?
Well, Mike, like you said, I think it's different for each person. So what might be great for you is going to be different for me. I think, though, the most important thing that every applicant walks away from is getting a sense of what the philosophy of the department is. And what the philosophy of my department is and the philosophy of the next department, they may be completely different, but understanding what our mission is and what the overall goal there, I think, is really important. There are a lot of little pieces of information, and I think we're going to touch on this, but from the number of patients that get seen in the emergency department, to the number of shifts that you work, to the number of how long the shifts are, that can get a little bit confusing and be part of what kind of debunks people a little bit, but that's part of all the information that you get. The most important thing is that you believe in the philosophy of the program you're really looking at.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. You know, I think that students, when they go out on the trail, need to be able to articulate, why does this program exist? What are they good at? What are their faculty really proud of? What's their philosophy? What's their reason for being? If you leave a program at the end of the day and you can't really articulate that, perhaps that message wasn't there to begin with. And that can certainly influence the way that you're going to rank the program at the end. But perhaps you have to kind of dig deeper while you're in your interviews and get past the how many central lines do I do and really understand what it is about GW or Cincinnati that makes them tick, that makes them get out of bed in the morning.
Yeah, and I think that mentioning you are going to get that information about how many central lines you do and how many patients you see an hour and how many weekend shifts you work. But I think that that's not as important. But it's not as important because no matter – you know, how you look at it, at the end of the day, you're going to be able to take care of CHF, you're going to be able to put in a central line, you're going to be able to do all of these things in the programs out there, but what's going to make you feel motivated to come to work as a resident? Like, is this the place And that really centers around the philosophy and the opportunity that exists for you and your career goals.
Okay, well, that's great. And I think it's a perfect segue to some of the questions that I have for Dr. Davis. For John, I'd like to turn it around a little bit for you. Colleen just described a few of the sort of major data points, pieces of information, factors that the students can take away on interview day. But there's a lot of information overload, and probably certain parts of the presentation really just don't matter. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not only information overload, but it really is a lot of redundancy in information, because I can't tell you how many times I experienced this myself, and also talking with applicants season after season. It's just that one program begins to sound like another program, and you really do get overwhelmed with information. And so the key as an applicant is really trying to separate the wheat from the chaff, just trying to figure out the key things that are important to you. And one thing that I've noticed is during the course of the season, there's sort of a growth and a maturation in the applicant as well in terms of what they're looking for in a program. And I always tell people that what you think that you might want in training might look quite different after experiencing 10 interview days and 10 program director presentations and meeting and speaking with people on the field. So it's kind of a moving target. But I think most importantly, the things that Colleen spoke to, number one, it's really all about the, you know, sort of categorize it as the three P's of a program: the people, the passions, and then the philosophy. And, you know, those are the core things that I think are you really got to focus on, and you got to separate those important things from a lot of the mis and disinformation that's out there. So a couple of points. There's a lot of information that you get that really doesn't matter at the end of the day. And I think point one is we all need to trust the RRC. You know, fortunately, emergency medicine, we're leaders within the house of medicine. Many things that we do educationally and in other veins, we really lead the charge in the house of medicine with many things. Look at the EM milestones. And I can tell you that the RRC in emergency medicine does a really good job at making sure that every program that's out there, any applicant, any resident, and any one of those training programs is going to get a great training experience and really learn the core content of emergency medicine. So a lot of that guesswork is taken out for the applicant. Fortunately, it's taken out of the equation for you, because you're going to get adequate and great training any place that you go. And really, it's the nuance and looking at the people, the particular passions of the program, and also the training philosophy, how they're going to go about teaching you the skills, the tools that you need to be successful as an emergency physician. So point number one, trust the RRC. Point two, it's really is an important point to me. It's all about the definitions. And you'll get bombarded with information about percentage of critical care, percentage of admissions, etc. But it really, just like with anything else, it really depends on the definition that's used to derive that data. And a perfect example is that two of our shops, we always quote this 3-4% critical care admission rate. But it really depends on the definition, because at one of our shops, 3-4% critical care really underballs the amount of critical patients we have in the ED, because it just so happens that that hospital has highly specialized units that can care for critically ill patients, but it's not defined as an ICU. It's really a step-down unit. On the converse side, another hospital where our residents train, there is no step-down unit. So things that might not go to an ICU at another hospital will wind up in an ICU at that particular hospital. So looking at these numbers, you really kind of get lost in this sea of gray, because the definitions are really important. But at the end of the day, the training program wouldn't exist without having an adequate exposure for the trainees to critical procedures, critical care, and everything that one needs to see during the course of training. So that's point two. Really be cautious about the definitions and these percentages and these raw numbers that you're provided with during the interview process. Point three, and Colleen really hit on this as well, there's really no one-size-fits-all answer. And a perfect example of this, I remember speaking with a candidate a couple of years ago, and this candidate was very, very focused on whether or not there was a burn rotation, not only at our program, but at every single program where they interviewed, because they were told early in the interview process by a senior resident at a program that did offer a burn rotation that that was a critical piece of training. And don't go to a place that doesn't have a burn rotation is what was relayed to this candidate. So it was a very important aspect of a curriculum for this candidate, but at the end of the day, there are some programs where you might get a better burn experience, but there's no program in the land where you're not going to get the burn experience you need to be able to safely and effectively take care of patients with burn injuries. So that's one of those nuanced areas.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Emergency Medicine Match Advice. You can view any of our episodes for free on Allium's YouTube channel, or if you prefer, listen to the episodes as Allium podcasts on SoundCloud. Also, check out summaries of our episodes as blog posts on Allium.com and in the publication A User's Guide to the Allium EM Match Advice series in the June 2017 issue of the Western Journal of Emergency Medicine. We love to hear from our listeners. Post your questions or comments for any of our episodes on Allium.com. Thanks for joining us.